Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
A panel of frowning economists.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. That housing slump, it's deeper than some people thought, and it's going to last until at least late next year. So says a new survey from the Blue Chip Economic Indicators. The panel of 52 economists says the housing downturn is going to have cascading effects on business investment and consumer spending. Other numbers out today show that thanks to a slowdown in consumer spending already, strip malls are getting a bit more naked. The vacancy rate in strip malls in the U.S. has reached a 5.5-year high. Doesn't seem like Wall Street seems to care about any of this. The Dow reached a new high on Tuesday. It closed up 120 to 14,164. The Nasdaq closed up 17 to 2803, its highest in 7 years. And the S&P closed up 13 to 1565. The Food and Drug Administration takes a closer look at a drug-coated stent from Medtronic today. If the FDA allows the device on the market, it'll become one of just 3 firms in the $2 billion drug-coated stent industry. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Since safety concerns arose last year, sales have declined for drug-coated stents made by Boston Scientific and Johnson & Johnson. And Medtronic's device has safety issues of its own. It's been found to be slightly more likely than its competition to cause blood clots within 9 months of being implanted. Marianne Napoli is with the Center for Medical Consumers.
I'm concerned about the possibility of the FDA allowing another drug-coated stent on the market when we have so many questions about the ones that are already there.
The latest questions stem from Medtronic's own study of the stent, but analyst Tim Nelson still expects it will be allowed onto the market.
Oh, I think it definitely will be approved by the FDA. There's nothing in this data set that would indicate that there's any significant either safety or efficacy issues that weren't previously known with the product.
If approved, analysts expect Medtronic's stent could capture 15% of the U.S. market within a year. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The battle for the high seas is going high tech. This week, the Australian government is launching a new anti-whaling campaign on YouTube. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton says the target is Japanese youth.
Japan plans to hunt 50 humpback whales in Antarctica. It's an area Australia has designated a whale sanctuary, which Japan refuses to recognize. But instead of taking legal action, the Australian government is trying a new tack: get Japanese children to oppose the hunt with a message on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Malcolm Turnbull. I'm the Australian Minister for the Environment. Can you imagine what life on Earth would be like without these magnificent creatures?
The video also features Australian children who've created anti-whaling campaigns of their own. Greenpeace's Mary Jorgensen says sites like YouTube offer a direct link to untapped audiences.
These are folks who are already comfortable with the tools that we're going to give them and are willing and able to run their own campaigns and kind of give a lot more muscle to something we would have traditionally done ourselves.
Jorgensen says Greenpeace also uses YouTube in its anti-whaling campaign. The environmental group plans to launch an animated video that targets Japanese youth. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
It's not just retired sports stars who make comebacks as talking heads. Carly Fiorina has just signed a deal with the Fox Business Channel. The embattled former chief of Hewlett-Packard is taking an unspecified role when the new channel from News Corp launches next week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
The Farm Bill has gone to the Senate, and when the Agriculture Committee takes a closer look at it, among the big issues up for debate will be direct payments to farmers and a safety net in the form of a revenue protection plan. For years now, policy experts, activists, and politicians have been debating farm subsidies. Commentator Robert Reich says it's time for legislators to put politics aside.
I've got a way to reduce global poverty, decrease the number of workers crossing our borders illegally, save American taxpayers money, and cut your supermarket bills all in one swoop. How? Get rid of U.S. farm subsidies and tariffs. They were supposed to be a temporary remedy for small farmers during the Depression, but renewed every 5 years regardless of which party controls Congress, farm subsidies keep going and going. Today, they cost Americans some $11 billion a year. Now, it's fine to insure small farmers against risk, but these subsidies go mostly to big agribusinesses that hardly need them. Fewer than 2% of Americans even work on a farm. Yet about half the population of the developing world depends on farming for their livelihoods. But they can't earn what the global market would otherwise pay them because America's subsidized farm exports keep prices artificially low. American cotton growers, for example, export cotton for just over half what it costs them to produce it, which means more than 10 million African cotton farmers are stymied. If we stopped subsidizing our cotton businesses, world cotton prices would rise, increasing the incomes of African cotton farmers by some $300 million a year. Meanwhile, the average American tariff on agricultural imports is 18%, much higher than the 5% average tariff on other imports. So not only do the world's poor suffer, but Americans get hit with a double whammy. We're subsidizing U.S. agribusinesses with our tax dollars while paying much more for our food than we pay if we didn't also protect agribusinesses. And not surprisingly, many of the world's poor who can't earn enough by farming are desperate to immigrate, legally or illegally, to richer countries like America. Message to the U.S. Senate now considering the latest farm bill: you want to fight poverty, illegal immigration, and budget deficits while giving American consumers a lift? Well, there isn't a simpler first step than to end farm subsidies and tariffs.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich's latest book is called Super Capitalism. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Nepoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.